So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
JLab has something for everyone, with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The Volume.
Yo, what's happening, everyone? Welcome into a brand new episode of Snaps here on The Volume, youtube.com/The Volume. Hope you're all having a wonderful day. I just realized I haven't turned my studio lights on, so do that here in a minute. I'm one of your hosts, T-Bob Hebert, joined as always by QB1, or should we call him QB43? Our guy, Aaron Murray. Aaron, what's up, dude? How's an old SEC record holder feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good as we get ready to rank the top 10 quarterbacks of the 2000s. ESPN just put a great article out with the top 75. As I was working through my issues with ESPN Plus, all you could see was like the little teaser of the top, or not top three, but the last three from 75 to 73. And it started with Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, Timmy Chang, who was a beast there at Hawaii,
legend,
and Dak Prescott. So our great producer, Brian Brumley, goes, where do we think Aaron ended up on this list? And I looked at that top three or four of that, you know, 75 and down, and I was like, no effing chance am I on this list, because that is an impressive grouping of quarterbacks. So as soon as I got my ESPN Plus finally fixed, it's only been 2 months and we finally got it going again so I can read Plus articles,
someone paid for you to have your own account. You know, don't forget about
you
that.
You did, but I wanted my account. I don't want to be leeching off your account. So I did send That's it to insane, my wife tonight.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, boys, you know what? Hey, guys, a show note. Let's spend more time talking about how Aaron figured out his ESPN Plus account. Like, ideally, actually, y'all just want to complete. Let's spend one second of it. I can't wait to hear the end. So what ended up happening?
I was getting to that before I was so rudely interrupted by both you and Brumley over there. I'm at 43. So I sent it to the wife. Also found out last night that I can now officially shoot blanks. So we about to go clubbing tonight, boys.
Oh, number 40. My God.
And I can't produce any more babies.
It's can we get a congrats in the chat
it's a party. For Aaron Murray?
Aaron Murray getting to finish inside of his rife for the rest of his time here on Earth. It's got to be one of the all-time good feelings. It's a feeling that I look forward to having here in about 6 weeks myself. I am becoming desperately more and more horny with each passing day, as it is yet another day without orgasming, extending probably the longest streak since I was in junior high, I would have to imagine. But we're on the road to recovery. And so congratulations. And yeah, and so now I get it. You're like, okay, T-Bob, well, great. You're going to get on Aaron for talking about his ESPN Plus story, and nobody cares about this either. Okay, fair, completely fair. But it's impossible for me to ignore my balls and the pain that they're in when I look at them, and there's still stitches in them now, as I think. B2B Advisors, T-Bob Murray, need to run a space sometimes. Look, we got a lot of good stuff coming your way. We're going to need your help in a couple of weeks here. We got some big news coming on YouTube, and we may have our own little home here on YouTube. And if you love snaps, you're going to prove the boss we love snaps. We're going to make this thing as big as possible. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I agree with David Basham. He says, cut to Always Sunny title screen. Aaron has another kid. That is true, man. I mean, I guess there is a world out there. Like, I think it was, wasn't Antonio Cromartie? We talked about this on OTB the other day. Antonio Cromartie was known for, I believe, having a lot of children. And I want to say that even post-vasectomy, Antonio Cromartie still had a kid. So
he was like trapped in California because he had so many kids that he couldn't leave the state, I believe.
Yeah, like it was something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, don't worry. I think I'm going to be sending in samples at least once a year just to make sure.
I mean, but is that how it works? Or like, I bet you he sent in a sample and was told that he was good to go, but they were just still, he's just a little too potent. There were still some strong little boys. Girls left somewhere in there.
I don't know. I don't think that he was as dedicated to not getting someone pregnant if he got that many women pregnant. So I don't think he was in the I'm sending in samples at least once a year kind of mentality. I think it was like a one-time thing. And yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to, you're going to send in yearly samples? You're going to get a vasectomy again? Like they can't cut out more, can they? They can't cut off
what
anymore.
Do they, like, they have to be able to, right? There has to be something where if you can somehow start producing again in 5 years that they can go in and kind of patch you back up, clean it up a little bit. I don't know.
We are shooting a lot of blind darts here. Okay. Not blanks like we're both about to be, but a lot of blind darts as I think you just ask like, sure. Like I don't know if your body just naturally starts producing fertile cum again after 5 years. I have no idea. So you know what? Let's leave that to the experts. Chat. If we got any doctors in here, I highly doubt that we do. But if we have any, maybe you could offer some of your expertise there. look, thank you to everybody hanging out with us today. Shout out my guy, John O'Barnes, who's in the chat, one of the great kind of local Saints content creators. Also, not to brag, but reports out of Saints OTAs, Derek Carr went 6 of 6 today, boys. Okay.
Wow.
I mean, exciting times down here in South Louisiana. Speaking of exciting times, Aaron, congrats to you being above both Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes on the top 75 quarterbacks of the 2000s list. They're number 43. It really is well-deserved. It is fantastic. But what this spawned is, instead of us arguing about what's wrong on the list, where to go different, instead, we have made our own personal top 10s, and we're going to go head-to-head, and then chat, you can decide whose top 10 is more correct here. And then I got a couple stories if we have time at the end here. We got a bit of a hard cutoff today. I got some other stories we can maybe get to that I found to be vaguely interesting from the internet, if you will. So, shout out, hit the like button, you know. Like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Aaron, I say we go 10 to 1 here. Yep. And I think I actually have put together objectively the best and most perfectly correct top 10. I certainly think that once I hit you with the irrefutable force of my logic that you'll see that I am correct. However, I doubt that we actually have the same top 10. And you asked me before the show if I would cede any arguments to you, given that you play quarterback. And the answer is a resounding no. It's a resounding no, because the fact that you play quarterback is actually your biggest weakness in this discussion. You're too close to the case. If I was the police chief, I would have to take you off because you knew the victim too well. Like, you don't actually know. How about that? You can't evaluate quarterback play because you played it. So how can you be trusted, right?
Yeah,
you're going to be overly friendly to the mistakes. Exactly. So no, I will not be ceding to you, but I will let you start. Aaron, who's your number 10 quarterback on the top 10 quarterbacks of the 2000s?
Well, I want to give some context first in case anyone else is having any issues with their ESPN Plus. So, number one, Baker Mayfield is ESPN's. One, Baker Mayfield. Two, Cam Newton. Three, Vince Young. Four, Tim Tebow. Five, Joe Burrow. Six, Deshaun Watson. Seven, Kyler Murray. Eight, Lamar Jackson. Nine, Marcus Mariota. And 10, Robert Griffin III. So, that was ESPN and their top 10. As I went through my top 10, I was like, man, whoever did this thing sucked, which I'm probably going to say the same thing about T-Bob's top 10 as well. All right, my number 10 in this list goes to the man out of Texas, one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up, one of the guys that got me to fall in love with Texas football, and one of the most winningest quarterbacks of all time, a guy that was an injury away from maybe winning a national championship, and that is Colt McCoy. That's number 10 for me.
Colt McCoy is fine, but there's only one quarterback that doesn't have a national championship on my list, and it ain't Colt McCoy. And look, here's the deal. I understand wins are maybe not the best metric when it comes to football in general, especially the NFL. But in college, as we will see on this list, you can power your way to a championship. And so I'm not the biggest fan of ring culture, right? Like, I've talked about it plenty on this show, but it is kind of the guideline under which we operate. And I feel like this list, when it gets into its top 10, it starts to skew so heavily into, okay, who just had the most gaudy numbers? But then you see, okay, everybody had gaudy numbers. And the problem is then you're negating guys who played in different eras. Like, there is no doubt number 10 on this list should be Eric Crouch, former Nebraska. How many other people on this top 75 list, Eric? How many other quarterbacks? How many other fucking – it's your corn hub kernel of the day, okay? How many other quarterbacks on this list won the Heisman the same year they won the national championship, Aaron?
Name him.
How many other ones? I think Matt Leinart did. I want to say Jameis Winston did. Tim Tebow did not. And Joe Burrow did. I mean, what are we talking about, dude? You're going to tell me that Eric Crouch, it's the 2000s. What?
All right. When was he? Okay. So he finished in 2001.
2001. That's what I'm saying. What? Just because he had a low completion percentage or he ran a triple option style offense?
Yes. Eric 29 touchdowns with 25 picks.
See, this is that bullshit, though. It's different eras. Yeah. It's a different style of football. It doesn't matter. You can keep Marcus Mariota. I'll take Eric Crouch. You keep Marcus Mariota. You keep Colt McCoy. I'll take Eric Crouch. Two-time Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. Fucking Heisman winner. National champ. Number retired. Let's go. Eric Crouch, number 10 on this list.
You and your Nebraska boys. All right. Whatever. You take that. All right. My number 9. Because I do agree that like championships are a big part of this, but I also just look on the play in the field. What kind of situation were you put in? Were you on a team that had a legitimate chance of winning a championship or not? And kind of take that into consideration. Like, did you elevate your team to an extremely high level? And I think the guy next on my list is someone who I thought obviously had an incredible year winning a Heisman Trophy, did at a place that traditionally had not won and won consistently. And that's Robert Griffin III there at Baylor. That Heisman season, which he had, let's go back to stats overall, 67% completion overall, 78 touchdowns for his career, 33 total rushing touchdowns. He was electric. That single season was one of the best single season seasons I've ever seen, so much so that I actually remember that offseason saying that RG3 should go ahead of Andrew Luck because of his attributes in the NFL draft. I was sipping the RG3 Kool-Aid a lot, and then obviously went on to be – offensive rookie of the year his first year there in Washington. So that's That's my number nine. Loved his season there at Baylor. Like I said, elevated a program that traditionally had not won.
No, another wrong choice. You know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised at this point. Look, RG3 is great, but as we'll see, when you're talking singular seasons versus careers, it's a bit of a delicate dance in this ranking. But unfortunately, there are better singular seasons, you know, and there are better careers. And that's where I arrive at my number nine. The one guy that I allowed into the club without a national championship, okay? And that is Blue Mountain State's finest, Kellen Moore. Come on down, ninth best quarterback of the 2000s. How does a 50-3 record as a starter sound? Oh, but T-Bob, he didn't win a natty. He was never gifted the opportunity, okay? What'd he do when he went against Power 5 opponents? 6-0 against the Power 5. And he has the gaudy numbers. He has everything else. But that 50-3 record as a starter, like the whole reason we still think of Boise State as being good is because of Kellen Moore. You're number nine quarterback of the 2000s. Easy. Easy. Okay,
I like him. You're I do like him. I can't talk crap because I was 0-1 versus Kellen Moore during my time. Hell of a quarterback. Undersized.
Wait, so you were one of the six Power 5 teams then. Okay.
Yes, I mean, we were one of the six. Just not enough. I mean, six is to me not enough. They're a good team, man. They're loaded with talent.
They had way too many white guys to beat you, dude. That's I don't know. That's kind of a bad look on y'all's part.
He was good. It wasn't a good look. I'm not going to lie. I sit here and lie to you. It was not a good look. All right. My number eight. See, I'm opposite with you. I kind of feel like
I'm six, so we can really get to the top five here.
Okay. All right. My number eight is Deshaun Watson, you know, getting that natty for Dabo and, you know, getting that program to now where it is when it comes to quarterback wise. Great quarterback. Yeah, just needs to calm down the massages, but he's a stud.
Stud was an interesting choice of words at the end of that. But look, we are doing football only, and I have Deshaun Watson on my list, but you have him too low. Deshaun Watson needs to be higher. I do have a Clemson quarterback at eight, though, and I got Trevor Lawrence. Because again, what you're going to see in this list is not only do I like stats, but I like wins. Okay, I like success. And although he wasn't the first year like Watson was, Trevor Lawrence lost two games in 3 years of being a
ACC.
College quarterback.
Ooh, scary.
He lost two games.
Like the group of five is so scary.
He won national championship over Alabama, so get out of here. Wow. You're essentially Aaron. The Georgia Bulldogs are playing an ACC schedule this year, so I don't want to fucking hear it. Okay. Like you're doing the exact same thing that you complain that you're doing the exact same thing that Clemson complains about every year. Trevor Lawrence, only two losses, including one to that incredible, unbeatable LSU team. Like, are you kidding me? He won natty. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, easily number eight. Okay, I'll go right ahead with my number seven, Matt Leinart, yet again. Okay, taking over for Carson Palmer. Should have been impossible to do. What did Leinart do? Two natties. Almost a third, won the first 27 games as a starter, won a Heisman, and then put up better stats the next year in which his teammate won the Heisman. The fact that Matt Leinart wasn't top 10 on this list is unreal to me. He's incredibly good looking, which you always love to see out of a California quarterback. I vaguely remember some story of him in a hot tub. Maybe it was Mark Sanchez. I don't know. The point is, it should have been impossible to replace Heisman winner Carson Palmer as easy as they did, and Matt Leinart was right there at number seven.
All right, my number seven goes to Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. Just I can't get over that game versus Alabama, knocking out Alabama that Heisman season. He's a stud. He is. I don't want him on my team because I don't want to deal with all the off the field issues, but I want him on my team because of the playmaking ability. Like, he was that guy, the joystick guy, that no matter what was going on, was going to get you out of some mess and find a way to create some magical play that we all were. I mean, there's so many highlight plays from Manziel's season that we will all remember. And for those reasons why I got him at number seven. And I'll stick with it. I'll go 6-6. Six for me. Sorry, since I know we got a little time crunch when we get top five. Six goes to Marcus Mariota there at Oregon.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics and NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game.
I mean, okay, you smell it, folks? Aaron's list reeks of statistical bias, recency bias, a lot of flash, no substance. I mean, what did Johnny Manziel actually do? Win a Cotton Bowl? Go like 11-2 one year? What did Marcus Mariota actually do? He had an incredible 2014, make no mistake, but...
What a Heisman.
I mean, how could you be choosing what these guys when you've got Jameis Winston? When you've got Jameis Winston at six. I'm sorry. I said Matt Leinart won his first 27 games of his career. I fucked that up. It was Jameis Winston. Matt Leinart went 37-2. So show some respect to that man. Jameis Winston. Do you not remember Jameis Winston bursting on the scene? Also, can we not appreciate now at this point that it wasn't really Jimbo? Okay. It wasn't Florida State. Even Bobby Bowden won, what, one title at Florida State in the midst of finishing top five, like 15 years in a row? He brought the first national title to Tallahassee in 14 years. He was a Heisman winner and national championship as a redshirt freshman. He led the game-winning last-second drive to win the game. He obviously meant more to Jimbo than Jimbo did to FSU. And you may forget about what you think. Like, you may forget about how you felt about Jameis because how you feel now, but at the time, he was overwhelming. He was so incredibly good. And the only reason why there's not more career from which to pull is because he was such an automatic number one overall pick. I mean, the fact that you put Marcus Mariota on this list over the guy that I'm pretty sure beat him head-to-head, and get the hell out of here. Jameis Winston, six, easy. Oh. All right, Aaron,
I can't with off-the-field issues. I couldn't deal with off-the-field issues. All right, number five.
You have Deshaun Watson at eight. Don't fucking get holier than
that. Yeah, but that wasn't in college, these issues. We're talking about his college career, not NFL career.
Now, those are some Sochi 2012
Dude is stealing crab legs in college. That's completely different.
Do you realize that's literally the least fucking offensive thing you could say to me? Yes. As Jameis Winston is making Jimbo Fisher and the university millions upon millions of dollars, he stole
crab legs. Stealing crab legs. Can't get over it. I'm sorry. Deshaun Watson,
you know, 20 plus sexual harassment cases. He's fine on the list.
In the pros. In the pros. I'm going to go before he was corrupted with his massage issues.
Ethical dividing line.
Yeah, there is. To me, it is. This is ranking college quarterbacks on NFL quarterbacks.
Oh, my God.
You have your college quarterback time, and then you have your NFL quarterback time. I'm judging you based on what you did as a college quarterback, not what's going on with you in your NFL world. So there you go. Number five for me, we got to stay on pace here. Number five for me is ESPN's number one. I know he didn't win a national championship, but he did win a Heisman. And he had probably the best stats of any quarterback on this list when it comes to career numbers. That's Baker Mayfield. Almost 15,000 total yards, 131 touchdowns passing, 21 rushing touchdowns, 70% completion. I mean, we talk about just numbers for an entire career was the best out there. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield, number five for me.
I mean, was he or was he just the latest Oklahoma quarterback? I mean, you mentioned Baker Mayfield, right? What'd you say, 15,000 yards?
Kyler was.
You know who threw for 16,000 over his career, more than any other Power 5 quarterback? Landry Jones. You know who threw for 15,000? Sam Bradford. You know who had an incredible, better single year?
Than like
Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. There are no Oklahoma quarterbacks on my list because you would not take any one of them to win a game. If I offered you any of those guys that you just named over Kellen Moore, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Leinart, Jameis Winston, Deshaun, Eric Crouch, you're taking anybody on my list over anybody on the Oklahoma list.
I would take them. I would.
Nobody from Oklahoma deserves to be on the top 10 list. They're flash. They're in the teams. They're style. No substance. Number five on my list, Deshaun Watson. Again, problematic. Don't like him. In terms of what he did in college, remember when, like the article points out, Clemsoning used to be a verb, okay? Like it was the thing. Clemson would do really good and they would fail in the big moment. What did Sean Watson do? He was the first person to change that. That's why I have him above Trevor Lawrence. It's always harder for the first person to change the narrative. He did it not once, but twice. Without Deshaun Watson, Alabama has two more national championships. Do any of us want to live in a world where Alabama has two more national championships? Hell no. So, and Deshaun Watson took over for great QBs. Like, it's not like, I mean, you know, Clemson, the table. Wasn't Taj Boyd right before him?
Yeah, I mean, Taj Boyd was a good QB.
And like, Taj Boyd set a pretty high bar, dude.
He did. He got it going there. He did get it going.
Yes, Deshaun Watson has to be top five here.
At least this was our first quarterback that actually was both in the top 10.
So who else do you have?
Well, I'm just saying, like, Deshaun was the first quarterback that we're actually matching with that are on this top 10 list. So my number four is Vince Young.
Yeah, because your list is awful. Okay, Vince Young at four. Okay, that's completely acceptable. Why?
Because he's a badass. That's why. We talk about moments in my lifetime and a lot of our lifetimes that we will always remember. That national championship game versus your boy Matt Leinart in USC is and will always be, when I think of college football, as the game I will always remember. Like, I remember where I was, what I was doing, watching that historic comeback, final touchdown run, and just being like, this is why I love college football. His entire season and that moment in that game is something that will go down to me, still the best college football game of all time. So that's why. And had a hell of a season.
So I think there's a couple interesting things to note here. My top four is a mixture of different metrics as to how they got here, but it is very clear. So obviously, like, Vince Young had a pretty good overall career, but mainly it is that final year with that game and against that team, right? Because that team that he beat is the Matt Leinart team that we're talking about, that won two natties, almost won a third, right? So he overcame maybe the greatest enemy of anybody on this list. I actually have Vince Young number three on this list for that performance. Ooh. I have Tim Tebow at number four. The ESPN article on Tebow nails it, right? It's just impossible to get a better body of work than Tebow did. Like, that would be his great strength. You know, freshman year, key piece of a national championship team. I think he wins the Heisman the year after that. Then I believe the next year is when he has the crazy speech and they go 13-1 to win the Natty. Mm-hmm. And then I think they go like 13-1. He's a Heisman finalist again. So just consistency throughout, couple championships mixed in. He had the big narrative moments. He controlled the game. Again, I hate stats in these articles because stats don't tell the story. Tim Tebow and Vince Young was the same way. They just, their influence on the game, they had gravitational pull. So Tim Tebow 4, Vince Young 3 on my list.
All right, 3 on my list is Joe Burrow. Greatest individual passing season of all time at LSU, and of all time in general, not just LSU, in all time. Like what he did that final season is just spectacular. I mean, average year before, but coming out that final, that next season, the swagger, the energy, the ability to lead. So that's my number 3. My number 2 is Cam Newton, who I think these two individual seasons to me are the best individual seasons of all time. Joe Burrow from a passing stat standpoint, you know, just watching him and go through his reads and everything he did.
Yeah.
And then Cam Newton from an overall, I'm just the best player in the football field standpoint. You and I both saw him live and played against him live. There was nothing that Cam could not do. And plus did not have any of the surrounding support around him at all that season that they won at all. So, 3, Joe, 2, Cam.
Okay. So God, you're just so, again, so bad. I mean, don't overthink it, dumbass. Joe Burrow should be number 1 on this list, and Cam Newton's too. And I'm with you. Cam Newton's the best football player I've ever seen live. And the reason why Cam Newton is so high on this list is because he had no help, right? It's kind of the opposite of Burrow. Like that's what people use against Burrow in this case, not putting him number 1 is because he had such a good team. I will explain in a little bit why that is so incredibly flawed. But again, if we wanted to play the theoretical game of who would you take head to head on this list, the only person you're possibly taking to win a game over Joe Burrow is Cam Newton. Everybody else, I'll take Joe Burrow against. Who are you taking over Joe Burrow on this list?
If I'm starting a team right now and I got to pick which quarterback I want to be the quarterback of my college football team, I'm taking Tim Tebow for everything that he is, for toughness, leadership, ability to dominate a game, the speeches, everything. Tebow is the definition of a quarterback. He is. He is the willing his team to victory over and over again. He threw fine in college. In college, he was not terrible. NFL was a little bit different. College, he wasn't a bad passer by any means. And yes, the system helped him. But here's my problem. He fit into the system perfectly. The RPO zone read system with Urban Meyer and Dan Mullen was absolutely perfect for what Tebow was and was capable of doing. But, I mean, look, I know you want to talk about stats, but his stats were great as a passer. 66% completion, 88 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. It's pretty damn good as a thrower.
Then you throw in all the other things on top of that. Brum's joke was funny.
Oh, yeah.
But if your argument is Tim Tebow's intangibles win it, I think Joe Burrow has those intangibles times 2. I don't think I've ever seen a leader on the football field and look at what he's gone on doing. So here's the deal. I got Cam Newton at 2. Okay. Again, he's the only one that I would even give a fighting chance head to head against Joe Burrow in a single game sample size here. But here's the deal. You ever heard of Paul Morphy? Aaron, the greatest chess player of all time, in my opinion, born in New Orleans, lived during the 1860s. No, obviously, if Paul Morphy were to like play experts today, he'd get his ass kicked because these grandmasters now have computers, all these things to rely on. How do we judge people from different eras? How did you perform relative to your peers? Okay. And the bottom line is there is nobody on this list that had the outlier year like Joe Burrow did. Well over 4,000 yards, 60 touchdowns through the air, 6 picks. Are you kidding me? Ran for 5 more touchdowns, 15-0, perfect season. Okay, you know what? Look, give Vince Young credit. He overcame those USC teams. You know what Joe Burrow overcame? Okay. That incredible 2019 Alabama team with Tua Tagovailoa and all those other pros all over the field. That Clemson team with Trevor Lawrence, which just once again just sleptwalked their way to a national championship game, was actually winning by 10. Like they ran into great. That Georgia team. That was so good. They fucking smashed everyone. Like it wasn't even.
It's a great season.
And so I get that he had more help than Cam Newton did, but that ain't his fault. And they still outperformed everybody by such a wide gap. It is easily, Joe Burrow is easily, and it's not even close, the best quarterback of the 2000s.
Number three.
There it is.
Number three.
Tim Tebow. Tim, come on the Players Lounge, Tim.
I love Tim. I want to ask you about love me some Tim.
Yeah, you could say LSU Homer, and I knew that was coming. I knew the, but like, I actually don't think so. I think you are being willfully obstinate if you don't think, again, who are you taking to win one game on your top 10? One game.
I still would take him third over Tim and Cam.
You would take Tim over Joe Burrow to win one game.
Win one game.
You're fucking tripping, yes. Dude.
Yep. You and I would take Cam too. And I would definitely take Cam too.
Oh, I get it. You're a little, you got a little mind ninja'd by Florida beating y'all up so much in the Tebow years. I get it, dude. Little Florida Georgia mind ninja. I know how that goes, dude. It's all good. All right. Well, look,
saw Cam. You and I saw Cam live. Like, yes. There was
he's the best football player I've ever seen. Look, if you put Cam one, I'm not hating on that. Okay. Like I said, that's the only other person I would take to win a game here outside of Burrow would be Cam. But I mean, you know. BA's tie Stone Cold style says Bennett would kill Burrows. Get the hell up out of here, BA. You tripping, bro. All right. Hey, look, we have to go. We got a bit of a hard out today. I'd like to go ahead and congratulate myself on the win. We'll put both top tens out there though and see what y'all think. I mean, I feel like I really just mopped the floor with Aaron today, so it's been a great day here on Snaps. Aaron, any closing remarks?
How could someone who
played quarterback know quarterback so little? How can you be number 43 on this list and yet no quarterback plays so little?
It's quite embarrassing. I don't know what the hell happened to me today.
I know, dude. I know.
So silly.
I'm going to give myself a Gatorade bath. No Cajun Spartan. We don't need to remember 2018 Joe Burrow. Sometimes you do shit that is so – like, we don't talk about Vince Young at the beginning of his career. He was considered a bust, but how'd he finish? Okay, that's all that matters, baby. Huge thank you to Ryan Brumley, Paul Farrington, Pat Gunner, Adam Gracia, Danny Cardenas. We love you. We thank you so much. Huge thank you to everybody who hangs out with us every single day here in the chat. If you listen on pods, please share with your friends. If you enjoyed it, again, big news coming in a couple weeks, guys. We want everybody to be on board. We're pushing strong for some more Snaps. So we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Snaps.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.